All right. Anyone that has a machzor, you don't have to have a machzor, but if you have one, get one, take one. We're gonna start in the art scroll, in the Ashkenaz. It's page 558. Page 558. It's the fourth line from the top. Starts Machzike Amana. Starts Machzike Amana. If someone has a svar, they can give it to me. I'll try to find it. Give me that.
What are we just looking for?
Stop it. It's in Musaf. It's in the Chazar Sashat of Musaf. In the svar, I would probably start from. All right, I guess those that have svar, they might want to follow on from page 588. Shlume Zikne. It's the second. It's a shin. It starts with a shin. Maybe he's trying to find it from in there. Oh, he doesn't have answer. No, it's a different nusa. It's a different nusa. The Ashkenaz and Sfard is a different nusach. Not only is it a different nusach, there's actually could be different halachic differences between them in their approach to the Avodas Yom Kippurim. What I'm going to do in the past few years, I think I made a mistake, but I used to read the Hebrew inside and then translate and explain. What happened was, it would take me a very long time, and at the end I would rush, or I didn't even finish. This year what I'm doing is, I spend time organizing myself, that I'm not going to read the Hebrew at all. I'm going to just say it over, see which thalam kedchab, where it fits in. I'm going to say it over based on how the paita, on how the author of this piyut wrote it down. And if you follow along in the English, or those that are very good in Hebrew, but those that follow at least in the English will probably be able to follow me. If you lose me for half a second, just pay attention. You'll be able to catch up again. You should be able to follow me very easily if you just pay attention to English. And I guess when it comes to, if you have time to go over it before Yom Kippur, but at least on Yom Kippur itself, usually you'll have time to, when you read the Hebrew, to glance at the English, which you'll know already what's going on based on what we say today. So that's how I'm going to do it. And, alright. Unfortunately, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the whole... anyone that doesn't have a sheet, there are a lot of sheets here. If you don't have a photocopied sheet. Unfortunately, nowadays, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But you have to keep in mind one thing. At the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the whole Avaida was the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't sit in Daven all day. They didn't have a Pashas. They didn't sit in Daven all day. The Pashas, I think what happened was all the Klal Yisrael stood outside in the Beis HaMikdash. They stood outside the Azara. If you wonder where the Azara is, if you look on the photocopy sheet, so the last place, the women are only allowed to go up to Shaar Niknah. The women are only allowed to walk up to Shaar, only allowed to come to Shaar Niknah. There are 15 steps there, and that's why it's called Ezras Nashim. Not because it was the women's, it was called Ezras Nashim because that's where women were only allowed to go up to there. Doesn't mean only women were there, but only women were allowed to walk up to there, and then afterwards, another few feet, I think it's 11 Amos, I'm not sure, but there's Ezras Yisrael, where Yisrael is allowed to walk. Past the Ezras Yisrael, Yisraelim are not allowed to walk. And that's already where the avoda was done. But Klal Yisrael stood around there, or around on the sides and in the back. But Klal Yisrael stood there really just sort of being involved in the Kohen Gadol's avoda. It wasn't really nowadays each of us, so to say, have our own avoda, our own Kohen Gadol. But time of Beis Hamidrash, the Kohen Gadol's avoda was our avoda. He was our shliach, and his avoda was a shlichus for us. So Prashtus, as we say over these tefillas, I mean, we always find that when we say over karbanas, it's in the place of karbanas. So when we say over these tefillas, maybe you could say that it's also, you know, sort of taking that place of the avaida. So therefore, imagine it's helpful that the better, you know, we say it and we understand what we're saying, it means a lot more. Because these few pages of the time based on Migdash was it. Everything was there. Nowadays, since we don't have the Avaida, so we have all of these other tefillos. But in the times of Beis HaMikdash, this was it. These three pages was it. That was the whole Avaida. Okay, so I'm going to start. I'm not even going to be using the mafsa most of the time. I'm just going to follow. I arranged in my notes so I can move quickly. See how long it takes. So if you have a question, you could ask. Especially if you don't understand something. I might not answer everything. Okay, 7 days before Yom Kippurim, they used to separate the Kohen Gadol in order to avoid coming into any impurities. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to be tar. So 7 days before Yom Kippur, they separated him. And this is just like the Miluim. The Miluim means at the time of when they dedicated the Mishkan, so Aaron and his children were separated from people for 7 days in order that the next day, the eighth day, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan at the time of the Chanukah and Mishkan, in order that they should be pure, they should avoid contact with people, avoid contact with dead bodies, and therefore they should be tar at the time for Yom Kippur. And they actually used to spritz on the Kohen Gadol before with the Paraduma, with the water of the Paraduma, because that's how if a person came in contact with a dead body, the person needs to be spritzed upon from the Paraduma water, the ashes of the Paraduma mixed with water. And that was done on the third day and the seventh day, because that's the halacha, not going to get involved. The third day and seventh day, they spritzed on him just in case he came in contact with a dead body before these 7 days. Also, during those 7 days, he would, in order to get accustomed to doing the Avaida, he would do the regular Avodas of the day. Every day there's two Avodas that are every day that the Kohen has to do. The Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid of the morning, which was also brought with Ketires. The Tamid Shel Shachar, I think, was on the outside Mizbeach, and he brought the Ketires on inside Mizbeach, and then in the afternoon, again, we have Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, and also the Ketires. That was every day. There was a Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. Now, normally, any Kohen is allowed to do that Avaida. Any Kohen can do the Tamid of every day. But in order for the Kohen Gadol to get accustomed to be in the, to be good, used to doing the Avaida, so those 7 days, the Kohen Gadol would do the regular Avaidas, which are really a Kohen Hedyot's allowed to do. So the Kohen Gadol would do those Avaidas, those 7 days, which normally a Kohen Hedyot's allowed to do, but he would do it in order to get used to doing the Avaida. And of course, by the way, any time a Kohen Gadol does Avaida, he has to wear eight Pagadim. A Kohen Hedyot wears 4 Pagadim. A Kohen Gadol has to wear 8 Pagadim, even if he does an Avaida, which it could be done by a regular Kohen. During those 7 days, the Zakenim of Bezin taught him the halachas. They would go over during those 7 days. The Zakenim of Bezin would go through the halachas with him. And they told him, Krana b'ficha, they told him, read it out with your mouth. Say it out. Say out the halachas outside. Say it over what we taught you. In order that if you forgot something, Mishnah says in Yuma, basically we're chazing a lot of Maseches Yuma, Psukim and the Chumash, but in order that if he would forget something, or he realized he didn't learn something, he would come to realize it. Because when a person says something, yeah, many times you have it. You run over to a guy with a kasha, and as soon as you say over the kasha, you realize you made a silly mistake. So in order for him to make sure that he knew that he had it clear, he had a klar, so they told him to say it outside. Now, on the morning of the ninth, So they stood the Kohen Gadol by the eastern gate. The eastern gate is called Shar Shushan. Now the eastern gate you won't see on your papers, but if you look down, I don't know if you have the directions. You have on top is west, the left is south, the right is north, and the bottom is east. So east, on the bottom of your paper, you will not see Shar Shushan, because Shar Shushan is much further down around this whole. This picture is a picture of the Beis HaMikdash. But outside the whole, around the whole Beis HaMikdash, there was a gate. There was gates around the whole Har HaBayis, around the whole mountain. So at the entrance to the Har HaBayis, entrance to the mountain, there was a gate, the eastern gate, which is, on my own paper, I made an arrow. You know, it's down there, is Shar Shushan, it's eastern gate. It's the entrance to the Har HaBayis, the entrance to the to coming into the Beis HaMikdash. And they led in front of him the karbanos of the day. They passed by him the cows, and they passed by him the different animals, the goats. They passed by him the animals that he would bring that day in order that he should again, what am I supposed to do with this cow? What am I going to do with this goat? What am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with that? In order that he should have, you know, should remember again that he has clear what he's got to do. Before Yom Kippur, it says that they would give him less food. A lot of these are Mishnayos. They gave him less food. Why did they give him less food? Because food, a lot of food, that's why Shabbos afternoon people have to sleep. A lot of food makes a person tired. So when a person eats a lot, it makes him tired. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sleep the night of Yom Kippur. The reason why he can't sleep the night of Yom Kippur, as it says here, is because he might, when he sleeps, he might see a carry. He might have an impurity. And therefore, he'll be passed to the Avaida. In fact, just in case there was a problem, they had a second person anointed just in case the first Kohen Gadol became possible. But in order to make sure this Kohen Gadol, who was the one who was supposed to do the Avaidah, did not become possible, did not fall asleep, so they gave him less food. And then it says in your Machzor, it says that the Zakenim of Bezin, who had taught him the Halachas, would give him over to the elders of the Kohuna to teach him Ketiris. Pashtus, it's all 7 days. It might be, it's not so clear. Could be machlokes, whether it's all 7 days they taught him the Ketores, or it's just the last day, as it's mashm over here a little bit. The last day they taught him the Ketores, but the Ziknei Kuna would teach him the Ketores, and they made him swear. What did they make him swear? They made him swear that he wouldn't do the Ketores improperly. This was a very big issue between the Tzedukim. The pasuk literally in the Torah sounds like ki ba'anan erala kaparis. The literal translation of the pasuk sounds like you should burn the incense and then bring in the burnt incense, which already is brought up the pillar of smoke, into the Kodesh HaKadosh. But we, based on the Rabbanan, we darsh in the pasuk, not in the literal explanation, you're not supposed to make the cloud of smoke outside, you're supposed to light it inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. In fact, the Gemara says that Stukim, if they had control, they were a Kohen Gadol, one of them. And if he was a Kohen Gadol, he used to go in and do it wrong, and he never would come out alive. There's an amazing Gemara in Yuma. There's a Gemara in Yuma that one time there was a Stuki getting ready to go in on Yom HaKippur. I'm saying this over for a reason. He says one time he was going to go into Kadesh Kadash on Yom Kippur. And someone told him, Stuki, aren't you afraid? Every person that goes in and brings and makes the smoke first and doesn't come out alive. He says, aren't you afraid? So he says, Kol Yoma Isi Mitzar Al Pasuk Zeh. My whole life I was concerned about this Pasuk. Ki Ba'an Anarela Kapiris. I always wanted to fulfill this Pasuk properly. And my whole life I was Mitzar. When am I going to be able to fill this Pasuk? And now that I have the opportunity to fill this Pasuk, I'm not going to fulfill the Pasuk. I'm not going to do it, the Tzuki said. It's the exact same Lashon, for those that learned the Gemara, it's the exact same expression that Rabbi Akiva used when he gave up his life when the Romans killed him. Kol yom ha'yisim mitzara pasuk zeh, all my life was mitzara on this pasuk, v'haftas Hashem okech, v'chalvav v'chalash chavam adecha. V'chayim shulevet, and then it says what happened to the Tzuki. He did it, and it says it wasn't a few days, so maybe they died a few days later, maybe I'm wrong about that, but it wasn't a few days before he was found in the garbage dump with worms coming out of him. And Rav Chaim Shulevitz, I think this they bring from him, he brings out a point that sometimes a person could be shtark, he'll be mesiras nefesh. But if he has if he's doing the wrong thing, you can't be convinced just because someone has shtark, he's meiser nefesh for what's this, it's good. It doesn't mean he might not go to Gehenna for it. Because obviously, if a person was checked out the emes a little better, he would have came to the truth. Just because a person will die on sheker doesn't mean he's going to go to Olam Haba for it. So, okay, so that night, now we're starting to get into Yom HaKippur itself. So that night, the Kohen Gadol again wasn't allowed to sleep. So it says that they had Tamidich, it says like this, if the Kohen Gadol was a Chacham, so he would darshan himself. But if he wasn't a Talmid Chacham, so other people would teach, would darshan him. And it says, they would learn with him Psukim in Iyov, the Mishnah says, Psukim in Ezra. They would try to teach him interesting parts of Navi in order that he shouldn't fall asleep. They try to keep it interesting, they shouldn't fall asleep, till Chatzais. And at Chatzais, we start with the first Avaida, was Chumas Hadasha. Sorry? Yeah, Chatzais at night, night of Yom Kippur. Now, normally Chumas Hadasha, that's what Morty's bothered by. Normally Chumas Hadasha was done in the morning, was done early in the morning. Chumas Hadasha, by the way, is they would take a shovelful off of the, on the ramp, they would pile up ashes on the ramp. And every morning we take off one shovelful and take it off the, He would take a shovelful of ashes off the Mizbeach, and put it on the ramp. This is on the outside Mizbeach. You'll see the ramp there is the Keves. The Keves is the ramp. They would take ashes from the Mizbeach, one shovelful. It wouldn't clear away the whole thing. When it became too full, there was another Avaida called Aitzas Hadasha. But then every day they did something called Chumas Hadesh, and they took a little bit, they took a shovelful off the Mizbeach and put on the Kevesh. Normally it was done in the morning, but on Yom Kippur, because the Gemara says, because the Kohen is fasting, they wanted to make it earlier so when he still had strength, so they did it at Chatzais. After he got dressed, after Kohen Gadol got dressed, he went to the mikvah. Went to the mikvah and he put on the gold clothing. And after he put on the gold clothing, he did something called Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. He did something called Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. What is it in English? Sanctification of the hands and feet. Now this Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim was done 10 times. 5 tefillos, 10 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Leilam will count, add it up. 5 tefillos and 10 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. The first Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, he washed his hands and his feet from the water of the Kiyar, was done after he got dressed. Okay? And as we go along, I'll explain to you a little bit more about the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, but the first one was done after he wore the gold clothing. So he did the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, he washed his hands and feet after dressing himself with the gold clothing, then he washed his hands and feet, and then he started with the Tamid Shel Shachar. So the Olam wants, you know, to map out the different Avaidas, you know, on the side, this is one thing, this is one major thing to map out. You can write one was the Talmud Shel Shachar. The first Avaida done, and there are not so many to list off, the first Avaida done with the gold clothing was the Talmud Shel Shachar. He did the Shechita, he shechted the animal, the Talmud Shel Shachar, and also, since the Kohen Gadol has to do all the Avaidas, he had to bekabel the dam. He has to catch the blood that flies out of the animal. Now normally you could use 2 different Kohanim, but since the Kohen Gadol has to do everything, he's got to catch the blood too. Now it's very hard to shechet an animal and catch the blood, I don't know if you tried. So what he did was, before he finished the Shechita, he would do most of the Shechita, that would be Kasher, and then another Kohen would take over with the knife to finish the last drop, which wasn't Ma'akev, wouldn't be Ma'akev the Kashers, and then he would catch, as you'll see now in your master, he would catch, the Kohen Gadol would have a basin, would have a container to catch the blood. That's why it says that someone else would take over with the end of the Shechita. Yeah? Why? One guy held a knife and he went basically almost to the end. And then someone else would just finish it off before, I guess, all the blood would come out. No, it doesn't have to be a Kohen Gadol because it's not a real Avaida. Oh, no, you're allowed to enter because it wasn't a Kodesh HaKadosh. And this was done, by the way, in the Azara. Right now, the Talmud Shel Shachar, which is brought on the outside Mizbeach, was done in the Azara, was done in that space between, you know, the Ezra's Kohanim and the Ulam, was done over there somewhere. Okay, so he did the Talmud Shel Shachar, and that was it. I don't want to go through all that, but he did the Talmud Shel Shachar. He catched the blood, he spritzed it, he did the Ketires, he brought the Ketires, which was done every morning. This was every morning stuff. He brought Ketires, which is brought on the inside Mizbeach. Called Mizbeach Apnimi, Mizbeach Azav, the golden Mizbeach, that he would bring the Ketores upon. This was done by the Kohen Gadol. During the year, any Kohen could do this. The only place that a Kohen Gadol, that a regular Kohen is not allowed to walk into is the Kodesh HaKadosh. So normally every day a regular Kohen could bring the Torahs on inner Mizbeah. But today, Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to do all the Avodos, except for those that the Piyut excluded. According to him at least, we'll find out in Ritz Hashem, but, okay. So we did the Talmud Shashachar with all the thing, and then it was time already, now we're starting to move, and then already he started to go to the next tefillah. Because he has to change now from the gold clothing to the white clothing. So how did he change from the gold clothing to white clothing? So it says before he went to the mikvah, it says he did Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. He washed his hands and feet. The reason is, and this is the way it's Machlokes in the Gemara, we passed like the Rabbanan, this is how it works. Follow along here. Any time you undress yourself, before you undress yourself, you have to wash your hands and feet. And after you dress yourself, one is going on the undressing. Prior to undressing, you wash your hands and feet. And then after you get dressed, you wash your hands and feet again. So therefore, you'll see here that it says he washed his hands and feet before he got undressed. He got undressed, he went to the mikvah, then he put on his white clothing, the four clothing, which was special for Yom Kippur, and then he did wash his hands and feet. So the island that was following along will ask me, how come the first time he didn't wash his hands and feet before he got undressed? The answer is because the first time he was wearing his regular weekday clothing. So when you get undressed from regular weekday clothing, there's no need to wash your hands and feet. But now that he was just wearing his gold clothing, and he's going to get undressed, so he's got to wash his hands and feet before he gets undressed, and goes to the mikvah, and then he puts on the white clothing, and again, he washes his hands and feet. So right now we had two tefillos and three Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Okay. Now number two is the long one. You should know after we finish number two, take us a few minutes to finish the rest. Number two, the second one, he changes into white clothing, covers most of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So here you have to follow along. He's wearing his white clothing, if Eilim is with me. Hope. So he's wearing his white clothing and he starts off like this. There was a cow. The cow was standing. I don't know when they placed it there exactly, but there was a cow standing. I don't have the chalkboard here, and it's better this way. It's quicker. But there was a par standing. If you look at the Mizbeah, there's a par standing between the, you can draw in your own pictures if you want, artists. There's a par standing between the Mizbeah and the Ulam. There's a cow standing there. Between that space, between the Mizbeah and the Ulam, there was a cow standing there, pretending he was, let's say, smack in the middle, I'm not sure. Now, his head, that cow was facing, okay, according to the diagram, the cow was facing this way. Sorry to be a cow, first time ever. Cow is standing this way. He's standing facing south with his back towards the north, okay? But his head is turned this way, facing Morty. So the cow is staying this way, and his head is facing Morty, he's facing the Kodesh HaKadosh. I'm the cow, you're the Kodesh HaKadosh. So I'm facing this, the cow is facing this way, his head's turned towards the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now, it sounds silly, right? How come the cow didn't just go like this, facing this way? The reason is, it wouldn't be respectful that its backside would be facing the Mizbeah. It wouldn't be respectful that the backside of the animal should be facing the Mizbeah. Therefore, they had the animal sideways, but his head was facing towards the Kodesh HaKadosh. Okay, and then he would come, and this is already getting to the Vidoy. He would come to this par. He would stick his two hands on the cow, and he would confess. And this confession is Ivikacha Ya'imer. Is this what we're up to? Is anyone following along with me in the master? Well, so up to the Ivikacha Ya'imer, he stuck his hands and he said, Hashem, Chatasi Avisha Bashadu Fanecha, Ani Uvesi. He says, Ani Uvesi. The first time he confesses, he only confesses for him and his household. Just it. Him and his family. That's it. And we'll see in the next one will change. The first time is just for him and his house, and he says, Hashem, forgive me and my household. And he says, I want you to follow this because people don't realize this. If you follow along, he says, Kakasuv v'saras maisha avdechem b'chvaydecho, he says out loud, that Hashem should forgive us, like it's written in the Torah, ki v'yoyim hazeh, the pasuk says, ki v'yoyim hazeh yechapar aleichem utar eschem, on this day Hashem was mechapar for us, to purify us, mikoch atoseichem, from all your sins, lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. He would say that pasuk. When he said that pasuk, the last word of that pasuk was lifnei Hashem. When he said Hashem, he didn't say Hashem. He didn't say the four-letter name of Hashem. He said, I'm not sure which name of Hashem he used. I'm not sure what it is. Let's say you have to use the Shem Havayah, if not more. I think you use the Shem Havayah. He used the Shem Havayah. He didn't say what we say. We're not allowed to use that word. He used the Shem Havayah, the actual name of Hashem. And when he said the Shem Havayah, so it says in the next paragraph, while he said the Shem Havayah, the Kohanim and the nation, who were standing all in the Azara, like we said earlier, they were all standing there waiting for this moment. And when they heard the name of Hashem at the end of that pasuk, they would bow down and they would say, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam Ved. That's the halacha. When you hear the name of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, you answer Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam Ved. That's what we do when we say Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus. Baruch, we say Baruch Shema, but in the Beis HaMikdash they would say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam Ved. So like when it's time, they can go through it a little slower than I just did it. But that's when the Shem was said. It wasn't just he said Shem. He said in as a continuation of that pasuk, and then they bowed down upon hearing the name of Hashem come out of the Kohen Gadol, and they would say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Vav, which we will in Mirat Hashem do. Will we also say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Vav? I'm sorry. How could they hear him? It's a good question. I don't know. It was probably very quiet, but I don't know if everyone, or maybe there was something the signals. I don't know. I don't. That's a good question. I don't know if everyone heard him or not. All right. Next. So he after he did this, what did he do next? What he did next was, now remember, the cow is going to still be here. Okay, don't forget about Marcy, all right? Don't forget about the cow. The cow is going to be here now. It's not going to be shafted until later. And then he goes to the two goats. On the east, it says in the Machzor, it says in the Python, says that he went to the east of the Azara. I'm not sure exactly where it was. He went to the east of the Azara, and there were two goats there that were identical. Two goats. One goat was going to be shechted, and like the par, and the other goat is going to be sent, as everyone knows, be sent to the Azazel, be sent to the cliff. He's sent out to the desert and thrown off a cliff. It was wearing a red string, and the red string, it hopefully would turn white. But that goat was there were two goats. One was be sent off the Azazel to the cliff, thrown off the cliff as a kapara, so for Klaiso somehow. Another goat was going to be shechted and used as a carbon. So now, there was a lottery. He would stick his two hands in a box to pick, and he would take out two pieces. One piece of wood would say Lashem on it, and that one was played. In other words, he would take his two hands, and I guess you would have the two animals on two sides, and whichever came out of whichever hand, that's the animal he put it on. I guess the right hand he would put on the right animal, left on the left animal, whichever came out. If the right hand came out with Lashem, you put it on the right, and the left, or vice versa. Now it says that it was a very important sign that if the Kohen Gadol, that the best thing was that the Kohen Gadol should come out with the right hand on Lashem, once at Lashem and once at Lazazel. Once at Lashem that was brought as a carbon, and one was Lazazel was sent to the Midbar. It says 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol. Not once did ever Lashem come out in his left hand. The bracha, the siman bracha, the siman of good, was that the Lashem would come out on the right hand, because the right hand is more chashiv, and Lashem would come out on the right hand, and that was placed on the goat that was going to be sent out, was going to be, that was placed on the goat that was going to be brought as a carbon. Okay. So now he ties a red string in order to make sure they don't get mixed up. He ties a red string on the goat that's supposed to be sent out in order they shouldn't mix them up. And he stands it in the area towards the destination. In other words, he places in a place near the entrance where it's going to be sent out to go out to the desert. But it's not going to be sent out till later. But it's prepared now to being sent out, the one with the red string on it. Okay, now, after taking care of business with the two goats, he knows which one of the goats is Lashem, which one is being sent out. He goes back to the par again. And he does another vidoy. He goes back to the par again. He sticks his two hands on the cow, and he goes again with the same thing. He goes and he's misvada. He confesses, but this time instead of just saying me and my house, you'll notice there's an addition. Ani uvesu ubnei aron, me, my house. He repeats, ubnei aron and all the kohanim. So the second confession he says for all of the kohanim, and again he says the pasuk mikocha tosechem ubnei Hashem. Again, he says the Shem Hashem, and everyone is standing in the Azara, right? Miktusha of Taras, everyone would bow down and say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, the Olam Vod. Now, finally, the cow is going to be killed. All right, now finally he shechs the cow. So he shechs, now he shechs the cow, and he's makabo the blood. He shechet the cow, he's makabo the blood. It's not clear, so clear here. It doesn't say beferish in the Mishnah if there was a second kain involved. Why there shouldn't be, I don't know. I saw the bottom of the article brings down the issue, but actually I saw it there, I didn't think about it myself, but over here it says he shechs the cow and he's makabo the blood. Now, the blood is not going to be spritzed yet, so in the meantime, there's a little bit of complication. So he shechs the cow and he catches the blood, but the blood is not going to be spritzed yet, so therefore, before it's spritzed, he had someone, another kain, mix the blood. Someone had a prestigious job of mixing the blood till it was spritzed. It is a prestigious job of mixing the blood till it's spritzed in order that it doesn't congeal, in order that the blood doesn't become hard, and it still is able to be spritzed. Now, all of a sudden, the cow is shechted, the blood is being stirred, and all of a sudden we come to the ktiras. That's why things like get a little complicated. Many things go on at the same time for some reason. I don't know, you know, the depth of why it is this way. And he goes to the, he starts the ktiras. That's why I said this is the biggest, this covers almost everything, the second one. He shovels the coals, so there's a special coal that he uses, which was lighter than the usual coal, and it was a gold coal, that he shovels out three kavim of coals. And this shovel with the three kavim of coals is later going to be brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to be used to burn the ketiris. This was, like Morty was saying, this is a special ketiris that was brought on Yom Kippurim inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. And that's the only time the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur, is to bring the ketiris. So he takes a shovel full with three coals, three kavim of coals. Well, he didn't take it yet, but he shoveled out. He went to an area of coals, and he took a shovel, and he shovels out three kavim. And he carries it up. So now, also, he gets ready, he takes the ketores. What happened was, they would bring in front of him, let's say, a big ladle of incense. He would take his two hands, I think he would take two, I'm not sure, I think it's two fistfuls. Like this, into it? Yeah, two, like that. So he would take two hands into the incense, and exactly, and that measurement, he wouldn't be able to keep it in his hand, because he's going to have to carry the coals also inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. So instead, in the meantime, he's going to take those two handfuls and put it into a ladle, a smaller ladle, and then he's going to carry the shovel with coals and the smaller ladle with the incense into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now, he takes the coals with his right hand, his stronger hand, and if he's left, he's not doing that right now anyways, with his right hand, and his left hand, he takes the lighter thing, he takes the incense. So even though maybe the Torah is more chashev, but he takes the shovels in the right hand, I think, because it's easier for him to carry. So he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What does he do in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He doesn't go into it over here. It's a complicated thing. There are many different opinions. I don't even go into it because I don't know if I have it all straight. I'll tell you why it's complicated. This is considered one of the three hardest avodas of Yom HaKippurim, one of the three hardest avodas in general to do. It was very difficult. What he's got to do is as follows. He has two. He's got a shovel full of coals and a shovel full of incense. But he can't just put down the coals. Then he puts down the coals. Fine, you're right. He puts down the coals in front of the aron. In front of the badim, the two poles stuck out of the aron, he put it in between the poles. In the second base of Midrash, there was no aron, he put it in the place that there would have been the aron, in front of the aron. Puts it in front of the aron, the coals. But now he's got the incense. So no problem, just stick the incense on the coals. No. He's got to put that incense back into his two hands. And then put it from his two hands onto the coals. He can't just dump it from the shovel, from the ladle into the coals. He's got to get it back into his two hands like he had it originally when he put it in. And it's very hard to do that. So different machlokes, different mafarshim. I think one pshat is he would maneuver the ladle. He had the ladle between his hands. That's one pshat, I think, on his side, like in his armpit. And then he would slowly be able to flip over, somehow maneuver himself to flip it over into his two hands to catch it. There are other opinions. I don't know all the opinions. There are different opinions how he got that ladle of incense back into those two hands. But that's what he did. And then he would put it onto the coals, and it would make a fire, and then he would leave. And he's going to come back later, not till the next time he changes into the white clothing. The very amazing thing. He's going to change into white clothing later, just in order to take go back into Kodesh Kodeshim and take it out. So now, after finishing the Ketores, we've covered already most of everything. The rest moves a little quicker if anyone's nervous. But, okay. Now, it's time. Okay, so now it's time. I'm going to have to keep myself here. Okay, now it's time. It's time to do the Zrik, I believe. Correct if I'm wrong. He comes to do the Zrik. He comes to spritz that blood. He takes the blood from that person who is spritzing, who is mixing, the blood of the cow, and he takes it from him. It's time to start doing Zrika. This thing started moving here. He started to do Zrika. Now, he did three Zrikas, actually. The first Zrika he does is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. This is the other time he goes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the blood of the cow, and he spritzes it. He spritzes seven, one down, I think, one down and seven up, or one one up and right, one up and seven down. He first does one going upwards like this. It's in the motion of the hand. One he did going upwards with his hand, and the others because he did seven downwards. And now it says he counted. He count. So it says one, and then it says one plus one. What does it mean? One plus one. One I already did spritzing upwards. And we'll have a repetition of this, and then seven, and then another one. I'm starting my downwards count. Why didn't he just count till eight? Why didn't he just say one? Or what do you have to say one plus one? Just say one, and then start again. One, two, three, four. Why do you have to add? One plus one, one plus two. So one Pashup Chat is because it's, for some reason, this is the best way not to get confused. In order to make sure that he doesn't get confused with his counts and mix up the fact that he did the one going upwards, so he says, I did one already. One plus one, one plus two. 1 plus 3, maybe the other explanations, 1 plus 4, and he does 7 going downwards. Okay. And after he does the Zrika, now he puts the blood down on a golden stand. He places that blood, he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he puts places the blood on a golden stand, which was standing in the Heichal, in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then he would shecht. Now it's time to get to that goat, the Lashem. The goat that was Lashem, he goes in and shechts that goat. And now he catches the blood, and he's mekabel the blood, he catches the blood. And he puts down the blood of the, and then he goes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now he does the same thing he did with the cow, I'm not going to repeat it even. He does the same thing he did with the cow, he goes back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the blood of the goat. So the blood of the cow is waiting outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Heichal. He goes in with the blood of the goat into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, does the same thing, and that's why you have right away the Kacha Yamayna, because that was the goat now, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, again, he goes back to the cow, and he does a second set of spritzings. The second set of spritzing was done by the Paroches. The Paroches, all I'm sure know, is the curtain between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I'm not going to go into the dimensions of it now, but the parochas was a curtain between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, he didn't spritz it actually on the parochas, he spritz it towards the parochas. The Gemara says that sometimes if it happened to hit the parochas, it happened. Someone said that I once saw the parochas and it was dirty with blood, but he didn't intentionally get the parochas wet with blood, he did it in front of the parochas, with the blood of the cow, and again he does, again I think he does, one, I think he does the same thing again. Does one up and seven down, and then he takes the, then he does the sire. Right? Got it right? And then he does the sire. And then he takes the sire and spritzes the sire by the parochas. Okay, again, he does the par by the parochas, and then he does the sire by the parochas, and then this is a final encounter with the blood here. He mixes the blood of the, after the two sets of spritzing, he mixes the blood of the goat and the blood of the cow, and then he spritzes those on the inner mizbeach. The mizbeach apnimi, which we discussed, was inside the heichal. There was another, a very small mizbeach. Then he spritzes the blood there. It says he spritzes the blood on the four corners, one on each corner, I think, and then another seven times he spritzes on the surface of the mizbeach. In the Paitan, he says first V7, I think, and then the 4, right? How's he do it? Says the 7 and then the 4, but in the Mishnah, in Yuma, it has the other way. It's first he spritz on the 4 corners, and then he spritz on the 7 times on the surface of the Mizbeach, and then, so now he was just finished with the process of the blood. And now we're going to go, now he's going to go to the Sayer of La'azaza. He's going to do the final confession. The goat that was Lashem was shechted and his blood was already spritzed. And now he goes to that live goat that has a red string on it. He sticks his two hands on this goat. Doesn't say in the Python, he doesn't repeat it. He sticks his two hands on that goat. And this is why this confession is the most famous one. He sticks his hands on the goat, which is going to be sent later on to the cliff. And he says the Kachayimer, he says the confession. And this time you'll notice he says, Chatu avu pashal fanecha amcha beis Yisrael. And he says, amcha beis Yisrael. There's no me. He doesn't even mention himself again for some reason. He doesn't mention the Kohanim. It's all a Klai Yisrael. Maybe they're included in that. All a Klai Yisrael. Their kapara comes with the last confession, is with the confession of the of on the Sayer La'azazel, on the goat that's going to be sent to the Midbar, sent to the desert. Okay. Now he sends off that goat. So after confessing on that goat, he sends off that goat with some person that has to travel quite a distance to the cliff to throw it off the cliff. While he's walking, the following things happen, but someone else is going to be sent off to throw it off the cliff. Okay. Then we have very little left, actually. I don't know how he was selected. I don't even know if he had to be a kain. I don't think he had to be a kain either. I don't know how he was selected. I think the Mishnah, I don't know. They brought the goat out. I don't know. They brought the goat outside. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly where. See, I don't know everything. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know exactly where he confessed on the goat. It said before that the goat, I don't know this following really well. I know it's hard to follow this. But the goat was on the, it said he was sent to the east. The goat was on the eastern part of the Azar. I don't know if that means right outside or on the inside of the Azar. I'm not sure. Somewhere on the east. I don't know where he confessed. They sent out the goat with someone else. Okay. Now everything flies from here, and that's why there's very little left in your machzor. He cut out the dead cow and dead goat. He cut and took apart the fats and the stuff that's supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach. And the rest, the stuff that's not brought on the Mizbeach, was going to be burnt, as going to be burnt. We'll see later. He doesn't sacrifice these fats now. He will sacrifice these fats later after he puts on his gold clothing. So he takes out the fats, the parts of the animal that's supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach now while he's still wearing the white clothing. But he doesn't actually bring them until later until he puts on the gold clothing. Again, he's still wearing the white clothing till now. On my paper, it's funny because I have we started from the second thing. I have like half of my whole, everything here or more is while he's wearing the white clothing. So now he cuts out the sar and the par. He takes out the part that is supposed to be brought on his back. The rest is supposed to be burnt. The Kohen Gadol didn't burn it. They gave it to someone to burn. It was burnt out to Yerushalayim. The parts that weren't brought on the Mizbeach were burnt out to Yerushalayim. While this stuff was being burnt, the Kohen Gadol would start reading from the Sefer Torah. The Kohen Gadol would read from the Sefer Torah. He would read over the parshas of the Yayim. Like the stuff we lain on Yom Kippur from Achrei Mais. He would lain the psukim in the Torah that discuss Yom Kippur and the Kabbanis of Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol would read out loud from the Sefer Torah. And that was, well, a different kind, or someone else, a different kind, brought out those parts that were supposed to be burnt outside Yerushalayim, and the rest of the parts that are supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach are going to be brought after he changes into the gold clothing. Okay, now it's time to change. Alright? It's time to change. After he read from the Sefer Torah, he changes. He sanctifies his hands and feet, and then he undresses himself from the white clothing. He puts on the gold clothing, and then he sanctifies his hands and feet again. For the Imam that's following, this is the third tefillah, and we're already up to 5 Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And then he brings the Eli, his ram, and the ram of the nation. These were Karbanos Ola. These were burnt, totally burnt. It was an Ola, Tashem. He brought a carbon, his carbon, I think he owned it, and then he brought a carbon that was was that Tzibor's carbon was a carbon brought on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. It's called Eloi ve'Ela'am, his ram and the ram of the people, meaning two carbonas Ola, one that was brought more of an individual carbon for himself, and one that was brought as an Ola for all of Klal Yisrael. He would go ahead and sacrifice now the fat of the cow and the goat, of that dead cow and goat that were shechted or killed a while ago. And he took the fats of those and brought on the Mizbeach. And also, he would bring the Musafim. There were at least seven Karbanos, I think, he brought for a Karban Musaf. He brought the Musafim. Musafim is the additional Karbanos brought in honor of Yom HaKippur. Like on Shabbos, you bring extra Karban for Yom Kippur in honor of the day. On Yontif, there's extra Karbanos. On Yom Kippur, there's extra Karbanos. I think there were seven Kvashim, seven sheep. There were seven, or I don't know. But there were extra Karbanos brought for Musaf. And again, now he changes. From the gold clothing, again, he sanctifies his hands and feet. Then he takes off the gold clothing, he goes to the mikvah for the fourth time, he puts on the white clothing again, and then he sanctifies his hands and feet. And what does he do? This is the easiest one to do, easiest one to explain. He goes back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he takes out the shovel and the ladle, and takes it out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He takes out the kelim, out, that's it. And then it's time to change again. Why is there such a chashivas given to this? I don't like. There's a veld. The island people say it's like a vitz or something like. Oh, you see the chashivas. There's a chashivas for cleaning up. Chashivas for taking out the garbage. Something like that. I think it's terrible because it is important to take out the garbage. It is important to clean up. But I don't think. I think there's probably a lot more to it than the guy in Gadol going into Kodesh HaKadoshim with his white clothing to take it out. There's probably more to it. You know, maybe you could say practically speaking, you had to burn first, so that's why I had to go back and get it. You know, that's the pasha, practical pasha. Practically, he had to be burned. He wasn't going to wait for it to be finished burning. He had to do the other avodas. Well, when it was finished, he had to go back and get it. It wasn't proper, it wasn't respectful. Yes, it's not respectful to leave it there. And he went in and got it. All right. Anyways, now he changes back into his gold clothing. Again, before he takes off his white clothing, he washes his hands and his feet. He takes off his white clothing. He goes to the mikvah. Again, by the way, we all know that the sheets spread around him was the linen sheet, whatever, every time the same thing. It depends on whether it was white or gold. And he would go to the mikvah, and then he put on his gold clothing, which is the last time he went to the mikvah, for the fifth time. He puts on his gold clothing for the last time. So if you're following, we had gold, it's gold, white, gold. Gold three times, white two times. And he puts on the gold clothing, and he does the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. He brings the sacrifice of the evening, which is brought every single day, but this time Kohen Gadol has to do it. He brings the Ktires, Pashtas. I don't know why I think it's left out. I think I noticed, I was going over last night, that he leaves out the Ktires. But the Chayra, he brings the Ktires, he lights the menorah, and then he washes his hands and feet before he takes off his clothing. And that's the tenth time. Because now that he's wearing holy clothing, even though he's not getting dressed into holy clothing, he's getting dressed into big day chol, his weekday clothing. But now he has to wash his hands and feet before he takes off his gold clothing, and then he's finished avodah. And as tremendous simcha when the Kohen Gadol would finish come out of Kodesh Kadashim, and after Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol made it through alive, and there's a tremendous simcha. No, Meretz Hashem, we should all be zeichet to a complete kapara, and I hope the Olam was able to follow me.